came up this morning I beg that you keep in mind what is about to be shared. I beg that you remember, because it is a passage that gives, or the thought in the passage. There are many texts that express the truth, but it gives a lot of problem to a lot of people, and rightly so. Listen it again. It is found in all four passages that came up as a part of the lesson this morning. It is mentioned in Exodus 25 through 6. It is mentioned in Exodus chapter 34, 6 and 6 through 7. It is mentioned in Numbers 14, 18 through 20. It is also mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 9 and 10. Listen it. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 and 6.
Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them,
mm-hmm.
nor serve them.
Mm-hmm.
For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God,
mm-hmm.
visiting the iniquity.
Wait. I want you to listen. Sometime during your lifetime, you are going to hear somebody either quote this passage, apply to something or somebody, or you are going to be asked as a Christian to explain it. Visiting the iniquity.
Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children.
Upon the children.
Unto the third and
unto the third and fourth generation. Wait. God, you're going to pass on the sin that the father commit upon his children, right down to the fourth and third generation. No, notice the consistency. Here the brothers just read it in Exodus chapter 20 when the Ten Commandments was given. But listen again in Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7.
And the Lord passed down before him,
mm-hmm.
and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth,
mm-hmm.
keeping mercy for thousands,
mm-hmm.
forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin,
uh-huh.
and that will by no means clear the guilty.
Watch here now. Read.
Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children,
uh-huh.
and upon the children's children,
uh-huh.
unto the third and to the fourth generation.
So here it is. It's not like it's mentioned once. In all these different situations that God spoke through Moses, the same thing is repeated. What the brothers just read is the second time. Look now in Numbers 14, 18 through 20.
The Lord is long-suffering,
mm-hmm.
and of great mercy,
mm-hmm.
forgiving iniquity and transgression,
mm-hmm.
and by no means clearing the guilty,
mm-hmm.
visiting the iniquity of
the
fathers.
Here again, it's the same thing, that the sin, the passage is worded so as to give you the idea that the sin committed by the father will be passed on to the children, and down to the third and fourth generation. That does sound like God. Let us listen it yet another time, and this time in Numbers chapter 5, Deuteronomy rather, chapter 5, verse 9 and 10.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation.
That's four passages. Moses wrote five books. Genesis. This is not mentioned in Genesis because God was not dealing with the children of Israel in Genesis. But from God start dealing with the children of Israel in Exodus, we hear this same truth from God being uttered, that God is going to visit the sin of the father upon the children and children down to the third and fourth generation. One of the great statements of Abraham, as Abraham walked with the angel going down to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy that city because of the rampantness of abnormal sexual relationship, homosexuality. Today we nice it up by calling it same-sex relationship. As Abraham marched, walked with the angel accompanying them, one of the great statements Abraham, well, there were many great statements. And one of them was, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Here, Abraham recognize the Almighty God with all the dozens of false gods and the different tribes or nations with their idols and their idolatry. Abraham had come to realize that the one person who judges the entire world was the Almighty God. That in that age was advanced knowledge. But not only that, Abraham acknowledged that if God is the judge of the earth, then it also necessitates God being a righteous judge. And Abraham was right. So when from passages like we have just read, found in the four texts I mentioned and others, it gives the idea that the Almighty God will pass on my sin to Patrick and Olive and Christine and Melanie, and then he no stop there. I'm going to pass it on to Delano. No, when you read that, if I'm a wicked, evil, just ungodly person, is the passage teaching that sin will be passed down? Well, you see, that, as we are going to see, does not reflect the righteous God that God is. Whatever the passage might be speaking about, for one thing, there's hardly any doubt that the passage also is talking about consequences. Very important that we keep that in mind. Okay. Remember, consequences are natural things that result naturally from previous action or doing. When we talk about consequence is not something created by man. It's the natural outcome of particular action. If I have been a robber and a thief in a community, there are natural consequences where people doubt me, people don't trust me, because over a period of time I have demonstrated that I am dishonest, I'm crooked, I'm a thief. Now, the thief failed to realize that the natural consequence is that people will mistrust you. When they could have you in their trust, they're not going to. That's natural. For example, when Paul got converted, and I think it was Barnabas tried to take him and introduce him to the church, the church, they were afraid of him. That's consequence. And I think of all the persons who recognize that, Paul did. So consequence, for example, may I? If I'm a gambler, I'm a drunkard, I work and get my pay on weekend, and before I reach home, I stop at the card game or the pick-up hall. I gamble away some of the money, then I stop at the other bar and I treat all my friends. If I'm like that, the natural consequence is that my wife and children are going to suffer needs. So, if it is in this case, Sister Mitchell, I'm a drunkard, she home with the children. By tomorrow, they are hungry, nothing to buy any money. That's consequence. That's natural. God, as if it were fixed things, that they are result from our action. There is no doubt that the passage here would include that. Consequences. As I've illustrated with things like drinking, gambling, and other bad behavior. But as a few passages I'm going to show, God, get this, get this, taking my sin and passing it on to my children and to their children and to their children's children. That's not God. I repeat, that's not God. Because God is a righteous God. In fact, let a few passages speak on that. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31, 29 through 30. Read it for us.
In those days, they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge.
Okay, it's the same thing, you know, being stated in a parable, a figure of speech in this text. Read on, brother.
But everyone shall die for his own iniquity.
Everyone. Wait, that is representative of God. Every person shall die for his parents' iniquity.
For his own iniquity.
His own sin. Read on.
Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge.
Wait. My children's teeth will not set on edge because of the sour grape that I have eaten. That is the righteous God. Read on.
Behold, the days come, say the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of...
Okay, look, run to another passage. That was verse 29 and 30.
Yes, brother.
Let us run to another passage found in Ezekiel 18, 19 and 20.
Yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father?
Start again. You're reading the right passage.
Yet you say. Why?
Why?
Doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live.
That's right. You see, what God is saying, and this is in Old Testament too, you know, is whatever God had in mind, and I'm not sure, I want to just spend a few minutes on it tonight, so I'm not sure I'll get to some other thing I want to say about that. Whatever God might have said, and whatever the impression we might have had about God visiting the sin of the father upon the children and upon the third and fourth generation, whatever God meant, the Almighty God is setting the record straight in the passages under consideration. So the Almighty God is asking the Israelite, you are wondering, why is it that I do not throw the father's sin upon the children? Read again, brother.
Read the same verse?
Same verse. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 19 to 20.
Yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful.
That is, when the son is law-abiding.
Amen.
When the son lives according to God's law.
Amen.
Read.
That which is lawful and right. And hath kept all my statutes.
Yeah, when he has done all that God expects of him.
Amen.
And
hath done them, he shall surely live.
He shall surely live.
The soul that sinneth.
Wait. The soul that sinneth.
It shall die.
That is the soul that going to die for his or her sin.
The son shall not bear the iniquity.
The son shall not bear the sin of the...
Of the father.
Father.
Neither shall the father
bear the sin of the son.
Amen.
Wait. It's like God is saying, whatever misunderstanding you might have gotten from Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 and 6, from Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7, from Numbers chapter 14, verse 18 through 20, from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9 through 10, whatever misunderstanding you might have gotten from what was said there, I am making it plain and simple and straightforward now. The son shall not bear the sin of the father, nor the father of the son. Are we all there? Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Romans.
Who will render to every man according to his deeds?
You notice? Notice the every man and his deeds.
Amen.
Very important. God will render to each person according to what he has done. Read on.
Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing.
Mm-hmm.
Seek for glory and honor and immortality,
mm-hmm.
eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
But unto them that are contentious,
mm-hmm.
and do not obey the truth,
mm-hmm.
but obey unrighteousness,
mm-hmm.
indignation and wrath.
What you notice in this passage,
the obedient person, the godly man or woman who submit to the will of God, the Almighty God has a pleasant reward for that man or woman. For the ungodly who live disobedient lives, the Almighty God has a different reward for that person.
Amen. But the concept that I will bear the sin of my father is not in keeping with the righteous nature of God. So those passages that we had read before, from all indication, I'm about to close, so get this. Let me hear Exodus chapter 20 again, 5 and 6.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them.
Mm-hmm.
Nor serve them,
mm-hmm.
for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God,
uh-huh.
visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children.
Visiting the iniquity of the father upon?
Upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation.
Get this down. Among the thing that most likely is in consideration here, is assuming, that the children and the children's children down to the fourth, fifth, or sixth, or seventh generation, if they personally and individually continue in the same wrongdoing of their parents, then God will, if they take the bad example, the bad sinful example from their father and down, then God will punish them because they follow in the wrong footstep of their parents. So the passages talk about personal and individual responsibility. And of course, the consequences which come, which is a natural thing. It is not that God take my sin and throw it over to my children or grandchildren. That is contrary to the holiness and the righteousness of God. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, he's a God who does right at all times. So when people, when I was growing up, I was tired to hear this passage quoted. Country people like to quote this passage. Of course, poor me didn't understand, and the dozens of people who quoted it didn't understand it either. The Bible said that God shall visit. Oh my God. It's not saying God throw my sin on my children. No. But if I walk an ungodly way of life, and they come and walk the same ungodly way of life, then God will deal with them accordingly. That's all that the passage is talking about. Don't ever forget that, please. And if you have more questions on it, then next year, this time, you can ask me.